Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
John 13, verses 1 through 5. So what we're reading here, this is when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. All right, and this is literally within hours before Jesus is going to face the cross. All right? John chapter 13, let me read verses 1 through 5. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now let's jump down to verses 33 through 35, and let's read this out loud and together. You ready? Let's read. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So, you know, if I were to be asked by someone, what one thing would you say would be able to solve many of our problems in our society, many problems in our world, many problems in our families? The answer I would give would be love. Love. You know, I believe that everybody on the face of the planet really craves love. They want to love and they want to be loved. Isn't that right? Yes. But sadly, there's a love deficit. You know, there really is. There's a love deficit in our families. There's a love deficit in our world. And many times there's a love deficit in our churches. You know, I think that we're doing it right here. You know, but because of this love deficit, man, God the Father and Jesus Christ, they addressed that love deficit in a very passionate and radical way. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to address that deficit, right? And the demonstration of that love was really carried out through Jesus, who laid his life down for us to show the Father's love, even when we were in the midst of our sin. Isn't that right? So it's no mystery that the key component of Christianity is love, right? So here in John 13, with only a few hours, you know, maybe 15 hours, you know, there's kind of a discrepancy on how many hours before he would go to the cross. But here, with only hours away from the cross, Jesus calls his disciples together, and he issues them this new command. And I was thinking a new command, because we've heard where Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, right? And then he says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember this? And he says, it's upon these two commands that all the prophets and the law were hung on. And so here he says, a new command I give you. And he says, love one another. Yeah. But that's not where he ends. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So this is both the key, but it's also the challenge. All right, so listen, I'm just taking you on a process of thoughts that are bringing us where I want to take us today. So the question is this. If I am to love you as Jesus loves me, then I need to identify how Jesus loves me. Yes. Right, so if I can't identify how Jesus loves me, I can't appropriate how to give that love to you. So the question is, how has Jesus loved me? And so I was thinking along these lines this week, and the first thing that popped in my mind was this, that Jesus' love for me is free. I mean, it doesn't cost me anything. It costs him everything. But it doesn't cost me a thing. And so if Jesus' love for me is free, if it doesn't cost me anything, and I'm to love you as Jesus loves me, the question I have to ask you, am I making you pay for my love? Am I making you pay for it? Is it costing you something? And listen, you know, we're not talking about money, right? Listen, we're living in a fallen world. You know, but 99.9% of the time, we bring past undealt issues into new relationships, and they're costly. Listen, what are we doing here? We are being discipled on how do we minister and reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ in this age. You know, but my undealt with issues may cost you. You may have to pay for my abandonment issues or rejection issues. Do you understand? You know, your issues of jealousy or your issues of insecurities or your bad habits, when you bring those into a relationship, it may cost those who you are loving. Come on. And listen, this is life. Do you understand? This is just the way it is. This is life. There's no getting around it. We all bring baggage into our relationships. So listen, how we handle that baggage will either make us or break us. So I was thinking about, you know, the baggage claim in airports. You know, and, you know, they have the baggage come on the little treadmills. You know, you're standing there and you're waiting. Listen, when you're at the baggage claim in the restaurant, you're not identifying everybody else's baggage. You're looking for your own baggage. You'll even tie a ribbon on it. I'm identifying my baggage. Do you understand? You're not looking at everybody else's baggage. And listen, when you're in the baggage claim, you never grab someone else's baggage and walk away with it. But we do that in life all the time, don't we? Man, we'll identify other people's baggage, and then we'll take their baggage, and we'll carry it with us into our next relationship. Come on, are you hearing this? So Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. So right before Jesus issued this command, he demonstrated how to do this by washing the disciples' feet. Listen, how many of you know that the disciples didn't just bring themselves to dinner that evening? No. Man, they brought some old dirt, some baggage to the table. And Luke's gospel tells us that around this table, the disciples were arguing about who's going to be greater. So around this table, the disciples are arguing. Listen, Judas is already planning on betraying Jesus, and Jesus' heart is heavy. You know, his heart is heavy because he knows it's within hours that he's going to have to go to the cross. And he's going to have to take all of the sins of the world and all that pressure and take that to the cross. And so in this setting where all of this is going on around this table, Jesus gets up from the table. He fills up a basin of water, and he proceeds to wash his disciples' feet. So Jesus is really, he's washing away the old dirt. He's washing away the baggage that they picked up along life's way. How many know that Jesus is still in the foot washing ministry today? Amen. Listen. If you're here this morning or if you're watching online, if you're struggling with past mistakes, you know, if you're struggling with mistakes that you made yesterday or last week or last month or even a year ago, you know, if you're still working through your past, you know, if you're still living in your past, you know, if you're still haunted by your past, listen, it will be very difficult for you to be loved in the present because you won't feel worthy. You know, and so in Revelation, we're not going to turn there, but in Revelation, Satan is identified as the accuser of the brethren. So how does he accuse us? You know, this is what he does. He accuses us by replaying our mistakes and our past over and over and over and over again until we feel disqualified, we feel unlovable, and we feel defeated. But there's good news. Because listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to know that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you and washed away every single sin you ever committed. Yeah. Every sin that you ever committed, past, present, and even in the future, you need to know that Jesus washed all your sins away. Listen, every sin you ever committed, every mistake you ever made is not only forgiven, but forgotten. Forgotten. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So listen to me. Before we even move any further, the Lord wants you to come to peace with your past. Yeah? How? You know, is it that from this day forward, I'm going to be perfect? No, listen, none of us can maintain perfection. None of us. Listen, this is how I come to peace with my past. This is how I make peace with my past. It's not my perfection, it's my position. My position in Christ and what Jesus did for me on that cross, oh man, it silences the accuser and it puts me at peace with my past. But how many of you know it takes faith to receive that what Jesus did on the cross really worked? Yeah. Come on, are you hearing me? Yeah. It takes faith to accept that what Jesus did on the cross was he completely paid in full all of my past mistakes. Yeah. So in my sin account, zero balance. Paid in full. Debt-free, but it takes faith to believe that. Amen. But that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Amen? So in order for me to be able to make peace with my past, man, I have to know that this is what Jesus did and what he did worked. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 5 with me. Verses 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Yeah, we have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So when I recognize that what Jesus did worked, oh, it makes me have peace with my past. Come on, how many of you need this today? Yeah, listen, I'm not just talking about last year or 10 years ago. I'm talking about every single day. We get to go to the cross and we get to accept and receive what Jesus did for us so we can make peace with past mistakes and move forward in victory and hope. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah? And we need not only do that for us, but we need to do that for others. Look at verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Come on. But we need faith. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Oh, yeah, I want to stand in this undeserved privilege by faith of what Jesus Christ did for me. No longer living in the past, no longer regretting everything, but I am standing in this place of undeserved privilege because of what Jesus has done for me. Listen. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, listen, and we confidently and joyfully look forward. Yeah. Making peace with our past, moving forward in hope. Amen. Say this with me. Say, faith in the past, hope for the future. So listen, faith in the fact that Jesus has taken care of my past and hope for the future allows me to love and be loved presently. Yeah? Come on, isn't that what we need? This love deficit that a lot of us deal with, this emptiness, this thing that's going on inside of our heart. You know, we want to try to fill that with a lot of different things. We'll want to try to fill it with position, title. We'll want to try to fill it with maybe drugs or alcohol or many, many overtime hours, you know, whatever, is that there's something inside of me that needs to be fulfilled. And the Lord is saying, I want to fill that empty spot, but it needs to be by the love that was demonstrated on the cross. Amen. Someone once said, faith makes all things possible. Hope makes all things inevitable, but love makes all things enjoyable. Yeah? So, the love of Jesus is free. All right, but listen, to love like Jesus is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. Listen, why do we want to talk about these things? Well, I think what the world needs now is love, sweet love. All I need is... So Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples. Amen. So we got to get our love right, you know? And listen, I think that when we bring our past experiences, good and bad, into relationships, well, that's just an exercise to help us learn how to love right. Yeah? Jesus also said, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Well, how has Jesus forgiven me? Oh, there's not enough pages in a book in all the ways that he's forgiven me. So if I'm going to forgive you as he forgave me, I got to come to terms with how he's forgiven me so I can put grace in the area. And that grace and love go together. Yes. Amen. So love will cost you. It'll cost you some time. Look at again at John 13, verses 1 through 2. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now look at the beginning of verse 2. The evening meal was in progress. Yeah, the evening meal was in progress. Another translation says that the evening meal was being served. So listen, the evening meal was in progress. So Jesus and his disciples are sitting around this table, and Jesus notices that his disciples' feet are dirty. In choosing to wash his disciples' feet, his meal was interrupted. So listen, if we're going to love people like Jesus loves, two things. Number one, count on interruptions. Count on interruptions. And number two, be available to get personally involved in someone else's dirt. Yeah. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't stand up when he noticed their feet were dirty and say, man, your feet stink. He didn't say it, did he? He didn't even ask him or you know, say, hey, listen, why didn't you wash your feet before you came to dinner? He didn't do any of that. In fact, Jesus didn't say anything until after he washed their feet. Yeah. So turn to your neighbor and say, touch before you teach. Yeah, so Jesus didn't say anything. Look at this again. Look at John 13, verses 4 and 5. It says, Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Listen, when Jesus saw the disciples' feet were dirty, he didn't say anything. Listen, he didn't give them a lecture on dirty feet. Come on, you got to hear this. He simply got down on his hands and knees, and he proceeded to wash them. He didn't say a word. And here's my takeaway. Are you ready for the takeaway? Listen, if you're not willing to wash feet, then it would be best to keep your mouth shut when you see dirt. Listen, when I see dirt, I can either talk about the dirt, or I could get personally involved in this person's life and position myself to humbly serve him or her and help clean up the mess. Yeah? Ooh. And so I'm amazed at Jesus, because Jesus didn't point out the dirt on the disciples' feet. He didn't talk about it. He did something else. He did something about it, but he didn't talk about it. Yeah? And it amazes me because, you know, he didn't make a big announcement. You know, I'm going to show you right now, love in action. Take some notes. He didn't say anything. He didn't make a big announcement. He didn't broadcast it. It was something he didn't talk about. He just quietly and humbly took care of the situation. Yeah. So to love like Jesus loves, man, you need to be ready and really expect to be interrupted. But at the same time, man, if you're not ready to wash any feet, it's probably best that you don't talk about someone else's dirt. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, no gossip at LWC. Yeah, we got to be careful. We have to be careful. Amen? Listen, can I talk to you about the basin? I got one more thing. It's going to be a shorter service today. But I want to show you this. This caught me, my attention, too. Let's go to John 13, 3 through 5 again. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And when I read that, I was remembering another basin that was mentioned in the scriptures. And that was when Jesus was on trial before Pontius Pilate. Remember this? Yeah, I mean, this is just before he's going to be crucified. His sentencing has come. And everybody that Jesus went to die for were screaming out, crucify him, crucify him. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verses 19 through 24. It says, while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered, verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked, and they all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I'm innocent of this man's blood. He said, it's your responsibility from here on out. Everyone say the basin. So this is my thought. On any given day, on any given moment in our life, we can call for a basin of water. And listen, what we do with that basin of water is entirely up to us. You know, we can call for the basin like Pontius Pilate did and wash our hands of everything and everyone and walk away. Or we can take up the basin of water like Jesus did and we can use it to wash someone's feet in humility and love. And the choice is always ours. And I'm amazed because, you know, when Jesus is at the table, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, while he's getting ready to wash the disciples' feet, there's a lot of things going on, man. First off, Jesus is going through some very intense mental, emotional, and physical pressure. You know, because he knows just hours, you know, he's going to be arrested. You know, he's going to be beaten. He's going to be flogged. He knows that all this stuff is happening. And listen, he also knows that the disciples, when he needs them the most, they're going to flee. He knows that. He knows that Judas is going to betray him. He knows that Peter's going to deny him. He knows all of this stuff. And in that moment, listen, Jesus didn't wash his hands of them. He washed their feet. And I'm telling you, he does the same thing for you. You need to know that Jesus is not washing his hands of you, Eddie. He's not washing his hands of any of you, regardless of how badly you've made mistakes, regardless of how far you've gone back into your past. You need to know that Jesus comes and says, I'm not going to wash my hands of you, but I'll wash your feet.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah. This is what the Lord has for us today. By the way, that is my shoe. It messed up the moment, didn't it? Everyone say amazing love.
Amazing love.
And amazing grace.
Amazing grace.
Yeah. You know, I'm in a place right now today, you know, man, I don't know, I'm feeling very somber today. You know, just soft. And recognizing, you know, that we have a challenge in front of us to love like Jesus loves.
Yes.
Don't we? How many of you know we don't always get it right? Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we want to try. We want to try. So the Lord's telling us today, I want you to make peace with your past. And I want you to really consider, you know, what it's going to cost you to love as I love, as Jesus loves. And wants to encourage us, don't wash your hands of each other. Amen. Listen, there are times when relationships kind of got to go their way. You know what I mean? We just got to make sure that we don't have dirt in our heart when that happens. All right, so listen, I don't know if we can have a little soft music or not. I know I didn't ask for this. My wife has a little wooden plaque in the place where she puts on her makeup in the morning, and it says, "You rise by lifting others," and I see that every morning. You rise by lifting others. Listen, if you want to be lifted up to a higher plane, church, you know, if you want to experience this joy and this fulfillment at a level that you've never experienced before, I want to tell you, the key to that is humility. It's to humble ourselves before the Lord and humble ourselves before one another and really take on the basin of water and a towel. You don't have to talk about all the problems, but just having this willingness to say, listen, I'm bowing down in humility to serve you, to help clean up a mess. I'm not judging you. I'm not going to broadcast it. I'm not going to tell everybody, but I'm here to serve you. And I'm telling you, that lifts you up. Amen. It lifts you up. Maybe you're here this morning and you're one that recognizes that, man, I can use a good foot washing today. We're not going to have a foot washing thing. So those of you that are scared that you're going to get your feet exposed, it's not happening. It's symbolic, though, isn't it? It's symbolic. I wrote down a couple phrases that I thought were really good. And this is about humility. It says, just as the branch that bears the most fruit bows the lowest, the one who's really fruitful in the things of Jesus Christ will bow the lowest to serve others. Yeah. Listen. At LWC, man, we want to encourage your ministers. We want you to go out with power and might and confidence. But if you don't have humility, it doesn't work, church. And if you don't have love, right? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Isn't that right? Here's another, this was a really cool quote. And this was, I can't remember this guy's name, but this guy is like an author and he's a scholar. You know, he's this Bible scholar. And towards the end of his life, he was asked, you know, tell us, give us a statement that will wrap up everything that you've learned over your lifelong of study. And he said this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That was it. And then he said this, the more I know Jesus, the more I love him. But the more I know me, the more I am amazed that he still loves me. Yeah. Listen, I want to encourage you. I'm done. You know, I have some other things I can share, but I really want to take a moment today and allow you to make peace with your past, okay? Whatever that might look like, you know, we're not going to call you up to the altar. I'm not going to lay hands on you. This is just something between you and the Lord. And I want you to know that in the Spirit, the Lord is doing the same thing he did just hours before he was going to go to the cross for his disciples. You need to be able to see him filling up a basin of water, not say anything to you, and just gently washing the dirt of your past off your heart and off your mind. And just allow him to wash over you today, okay? So you can make your seat an altar if you want. We just want to give you a little bit of time to reflect and bring whatever you need to bring before the Lord and know that Jesus isn't washing his hands of you, but he's bowing down on his hands and knees. And listen, do you know that that is really a position of prayer and intercession? That's what he's doing now in heaven. You're accepted, church, and you are loved and you're worth it. All right, so do a little heart search and then we'll release you here in just a minute. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. By grace, you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your radical love. We thank you for the passion of the cross. And Father, we thank you for the gentleness, how you approach us when we got dirt on us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't see you washing your hands of us and saying it's over for you. We see you taking a knee, bowing down before us, and cleansing us, Lord, from all of our sin and all of our mistakes. Father, we thank you that the Spirit of God right now in this place is gentleness. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. And Lord, as we approach Easter and everything coming up to that celebration of the resurrection, Lord, help us to walk the path of the cross in remembrance of you in the next few weeks. And we thank you and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.